It is Mother's Day, and for many of us, it's a great time of celebration, but we recognize that Mother's Day doesn't always mean everything to everyone. And so we wanted to bless the women around us with a special prayer and a special blessing for you. And we have our very own Cheese is going to read that for us. Let's welcome him up. Let's make him feel nervous.
Sorry, Peter. All right. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in trenches with little ones every day and wear the badges of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, runaways, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to say things that make it harder. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with their children, we celebrate you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experience abuse at the hands of their own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on children, yet that dream is not yet to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have empty nests this coming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We are grateful for you. Thank you.
I thought for a moment you were bringing those flowers to Cheese. I thought, well, that's weird. Thank you, Cheese. Let's take a moment to pray. And God, we ask in this moment, whatever you're doing in the room, that you would continue to work on our hearts and work in this space and wherever everyone is at in their journey and their process of knowing you, wherever they're at in their lack of understanding. Maybe they are not connected to you or are having a hard time knowing exactly what you are. Would you meet us there? And would you, through this process, as we walk through these words this morning, bring the healing that only you can bring in the deep places of our heart and continue to pour out your love and lavish it upon us and bless each and every person here. I'm thankful that they're here. Thankful that we get to be a part of their process and their journey. Just bless them now. In your name we pray. Amen. So I've always wanted to do a series on pain and doubt. And the last 10 years of my life, I've gone through some pretty dark moments in some of my own process and my faith process. I've experienced some very deep doubt and have struggled with God in ways that I didn't think I was going to. And I was always wanting to land the plane and talk about it. But through the caution of some very wise friends in my life, they said, don't get up and process out loud what you're going through. It's not going to be helpful for the body. And I'm now more in a place where maybe I can begin to process and talk about these things in a public way. And I had the privilege of being able to have a group of people around me to help me process what was going on inside of me. That was very much a safe environment for me. And the things that I've been sharing over the last couple of weeks through this series on faith and doubt and on pain and what do we do with disappointment comes from some of these key people in my life. And what I want to share with you this morning comes from a very dear friend of mine that helped me process through certain scripture passages that helped really to keep me rooted and kept some foundation in my life as I was going through my own questioning. And so what I'm sharing this morning comes from a process with a very good friend of mine and a couple of others in my life that helped me work some things out. So I want to share them with you. My hope is that they would be an encouragement to you, that you would hear my heart, that I'm not just spewing on you, but I want to just speak with you for a few moments. And hopefully this series brings up good discussion. That is my hope and my desire, is that we would just have good discussion with one another. I'm just trying to get a conversation going is all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to solve everything or fix your problems. I just want to have a good discussion with you and hear your story as well. I really want to be a part of your life and a part of your story. I've learned over the last several years how life has a way of dismembering us. It really can take us apart in significant ways. Things that we're not expecting or things that happen to us that we don't quite know what to do with, and they have a way of pulling things apart. And what I've learned by being part of the body of Christ is that there are some really great men and women that help kind of remember us and help us remember some of the truths and things that maybe we're missing along the way. And so I chose to be in community with people and chose to listen to a certain group of people to instill in me the things that I needed to remember as they helped remember me in a way as I was demembered, that remembering of just putting some of the broken pieces back into place and helping me to process some of the pain inside. So I'm going to invite you to turn over to Matthew chapter 4. And these scripture passages that we're going to walk through this morning are a series of passages that I've worked through with this very dear friend of mine that helped me see some things that I may had been missing, but these things really kept me rooted. So beginning in Matthew chapter 4, and I want you to keep your finger there because we're going to come back to it, but just to give you a brief overview of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, this is where Jesus, before he goes off into his ministry to begin working with people, the very Spirit of God takes him out into the wilderness, drives him out into the wilderness. So he was led out into the wilderness, which is a representation of where you learn to really trust in God. The wilderness is a place of deep vulnerability and openness. There's lots of danger. There's lots of things that you have to learn when you're in the wilderness, a complete dependence upon God and his care for you. And Jesus enters into this time in the wilderness where he fasts for 40 days and for 40 nights. And he begins to experience deep hunger. This is when the enemy comes in and begins to tempt Jesus. He goes after his appetite, and he goes after his very identity by asking him a couple of questions. He says, if you are the Son of God, so that's a question of identity. If you really are who the Father says that you are, tell him to do this, to turn these stones into bread. So he goes after the appetite of Jesus, after this craving. And when you experience deep hunger and deep craving, there's all kinds of things that it can pull up inside of you, all sorts of things inside. And so the way that Jesus responds is very profound, and we're going to look at that. But notice right away in the text that here, what the enemy is going after is Jesus' appetite. He's going after his appetite, the cravings that are deep inside of him, and then he's questioning his very identity. Now, what we need to do at this point is when we look at a text like this and we see a number, 40, we have to pay attention because numbers in the scripture are very significant. They're not just there to tell us, well, this is the amount of days that everyone in the room should try to fast. 40 days and 40 nights, are you kidding me? 40 days and 40 nights. Well, then we should all be doing that. I'm not going to say that you shouldn't do that or that you should do that. That's up to you. If you want to try it, go ahead. But 40 days and 40 nights, that number right there should trigger something to a greater story. So when you see 40, and we're in this series called 40, you then, as the reader, would ask the question, what is the writer pointing us to? Is there a bigger story going on within the story? So when I look at the number 40, I go all the way back to the beginning to a bigger story. And Jesus saw himself in the context of a bigger story. He didn't just get plopped here on earth and then the story begins. Jesus saw himself in a bigger story of what God was trying to do in the world through a particular community of people. So I want to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Now, how many times at Edgewater do we go to Genesis 1? Almost every week, it seems like. Eventually, we'll get off this kick, but we're still here. Genesis 1, the story begins with chaos, right? Verse 1, we got chaos, we have disorder. God speaks into the chaos. He comes like through the water, comes out of the water, and begins to create creation. There's all of these good things that God begins to create. And then we get down to verse 27 of chapter 1. And in verse 27, it says, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then in verse 28, God blessed them. That's really significant. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, a couple of observations about this creation poem. Really significant key things going on here. Male and female, they represent the full image of God, right? We don't have a full representation of God with just a male figure. It's male and female together gives us a picture of what God is like. The full representation, the image of God, male and female. And then it says in verse 28, and I want you to like mark that if you're comfortable with marking in your Bible, God blessed them. Really significant there in verse 28. Now, when we say things in our traditions like God is blessing me or God blessed them, I sometimes say, well, what is it exactly do you mean when you say that? God blessed you. What does that mean? Now, when I look at that term, God blessed them, what I hear is this, through my understanding, God placed his love and his validation on them. He placed his love and his validation on the male and on the female and blessed them. And then he says, be fruitful and multiply. So he places his love and his blessing on. This is where the story starts, right, with humanity. God blesses them. Even before they say anything, even before they do anything, God places his blessing on them right out of the gate. They didn't earn it. They didn't strive for it. God just gives it, and he speaks a blessing over them. So when somebody says to me that they're blessed, what I hear is love, I hear validation, but I also hear this deep sense that I'm connected to God. I'm connected to life. I'm connected to the source. There's harmony between me and God, and I feel this deep, deep sense that I'm loved, that I'm valued, that I'm cherished, and I have his validation, and that makes me feel this deep blessing inside of my heart. So the story begins with male and female representing God, and then it starts with God's blessing that he places over humanity. And then what does he say in verse 28? Rule, subdue. Now what does that mean? Rule and subdue. What I hear is take care of the earth. Take care of it. Nurture it. Care for it. Help it to move forward. If you notice in the creation process, if you read through Genesis chapter 1, each time God creates something, it gets more complex, and then birds create more birds, trees create more trees, creatures create more creatures. So it's like, man, the way that God created things is that they keep on creating. And then he calls male and female to take care of it, to nurture it, to rule over it, to subdue it, to guide it, to bless it as they have been blessed. Continue to take care of it. Then we get to Genesis 3. And the story turns sideways in Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, there's a couple of different things going on. Either male and female, who are now free, can they can choose to participate with God in his blessing and partake of the blessing of God, to own that and say, yes, this is what we're choosing to live into. This is what we're choosing to live out of. Or they can rebel and disconnect from that. They can unplug from life in a sense, which is a way of turning around and then heading back to the beginning of the story, which is uncreation. A back to the unraveling, a back to the chaos and disorder. And this to me is what a good picture of sin looks like, is that we're heading backwards. We're heading back away from life. We're heading back to the things that disconnect us, that dismember us, that take us apart. God invites them forward. God invites them to live into who they really are as blessed co-creators. These are the kinds of people that I want you to be. But then there's a problem. God plants a tree right in the middle of the garden and makes the story very interesting. Without the tree, the story's not very interesting, because we just start with blessing and everything is in harmony and peace. We're like, well, that's a great story. That's not my story. So he puts this tree in this story, and the tree is symbolic. It's symbolic of what it looks like if we find life apart from our Creator. So we're heading in a different direction. It kind of represents what life would be like if we chose to go back to uncreation, away from life. Then we get to Genesis 3, verse 6. Listen to this. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for what? Food, right? For food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Everything in the story turns around. We're going back now, back towards brokenness, back towards rebellion, back away from life and disconnection. They unplug from life and they disconnect, which to me is just absolutely crazy. But it's our story. This is our story. If we own that part of it, yeah. We all have made this choice to disconnect. And that's how we identify with the story. Adam and Eve begin with a blessing. They start out with a blessing. It's like, here's your opportunity. God has spoken this over you. You can live into this. You can lean into this. You can participate with God as a co-creator, or you can disconnect from that. And what do Adam and Eve do? They fail. They fail. They don't hold to the blessing. Now, what I love about the Bible is that in the Bible, the writers gather together and they're like, this God that we're describing to you never gives up on humanity. And he always pursues male and female. He's always after humanity. Whether humanity wants it or not, whether humanity's like, no, just stay away, or they disconnect from it, or they're choosing this direction in life, God comes down and he does everything that he can to connect with us. He longs for connection with people. And he says, I'm after your heart. I desire for you to completely live into the people that I've created you to be. And I'm not going to give up on you. And so God comes down. And then in Exodus 15, we see God connecting with a community of people. It's like the Adam and Eve thing didn't go so well. So let's try this again. And this time we're going to do it with a community of people. We're going to try with a large group and then see what happens there. So in Exodus 15, verse 19, it says, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots and horsemen went into the water, into the sea, the Lord brought the waters over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea onto dry ground. Now, what's the image that we've got there again? The Israelites are coming through the water, right? They're coming through it out on the other side, and God now speaks a blessing over the people as they're on the other side of the water. This is the Exodus story. It's really fascinating to think how God is bringing them through, and then on the other side, he blesses them. This is where he starts. And where we start has a lot to say with where we end up. So if we start with blessing, with the understanding that we're blessed, that has a lot to say about how the story ends. So we start with God's divine blessing spoken over them. But something goes bad. It's like, oh no, they're telling our story. It's like these scripture writers really understand humanity. They get us, that even us, a large group of people, if we were spoken this blessing over our lives, we probably wouldn't get it right. So we go on in the story to Exodus 16, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. The whole Israelite community, set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, where are they? They're in the wilderness. Make note of that. They're out in the wilderness. The whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat." Oh, that sounds amazing. "And ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Man, aren't you so glad that we as humanity are not like that? Like that we never grumble or complain or play the blame game. And we're not always blaming people for our problems. Like, we're so far beyond that. It's like, wait a minute, isn't this our story? They're telling our story. They grumble. They complain. Back there, we had it so good. Back in slavery, we had it good. Because everything was provided for us. And then you brought us out here to die. You taunt us. And we sit out here in this wilderness, this vulnerability. And for 40 years, we just wander around for 40 years. And what happens to the Israelites? They fail. They fail. There's this deep desire that exists inside the human heart for something more. And we all know that there's something more and we crave it. And many times what happens with these cravings and these appetites is they get completely out of whack and they pull us off track. And before we know it, we're pursuing things that are taking us apart. And we're looking for life outside of this divine created order, and we disconnect, we unplug from it. And we look at the Israelites and we think, how in the heck did they get there? God delivered them. He did these miraculous things, and how in the heck did they get there? You know why? Because they're just like us. They got there because that's exactly where we would go, knowing that we don't have the strength to say no, that we're not good enough to uphold these things, that we fail over and over and over again. Now, that's strangely comforting to me as somebody who has experienced a great deal of failure in life. I'm like, okay, that's my story. I can handle that. They grumble. They blame shift. And it's so easy to blame other people for our problems, isn't it? It's their fault. They're the cause of it. And what we're wanting to do here at Edgewater is to be a community of people that say, no, 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 it's me. Starts with me. What's going on inside of me that's causing this pain, this hurt? What's going on in here that's causing me to feel disappointed and facing the greatest problem, me? So we're looking at what is it that's keeping us from connecting to life. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's this good word that comes. Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 3. "Be careful," it says, "to follow every command that I'm giving you, so that you may live and increase." Like, what's the desire of God? Live and increase. Blessing. I want you to really live, and you may enter and possess the land, the promised, an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God had led you all the way into the wilderness for these 40 years. There's that number again, 40 years. He humbled you. God humbled you, caused you to hunger, and then fed you. He's the one that's behind this, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, the driving force in life, if we're honest about our own human experience, is that we got to make sure that our physical comforts and our physical needs are met. And yet in the word of God, what we see spoken in Deuteronomy and what Jesus says is we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that is spoken from, spoken from the very mouth of God. Can we just laugh for a moment? Is that okay? What are you smoking? They look at everybody else. And to me, when I hear people blame and blame shift, it's so boring, isn't it? It is boring. What's going on inside God? of you that's causing you to unplug. Now, I want you to turn back to Matthew 4. Let's look at Matthew 4 again, verses 1 through 4. Would somebody read that out loud? Somebody with a really booming voice. You can be a female too and still have a booming voice. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4. Would you stand and read it? And make sure everybody hears you.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread, but every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Awesome. Thank you. Very well done. You want to come up here and just preach the rest of this sermon? We'll do a little tag team action, and then we'll smoke something later, I guess. That'll work. My mom is listening to this podcast right now. Sorry, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. I love you. Jesus is led out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And after the 40 days and the 40 nights, what does the text say? He's hungry. Like, no kidding. He's hungry. That's what you want to tell us? He's hungry. But I think there's more going on. If we look at the story, he's hungry. And this is when the enemy goes after him, when he's vulnerable, when he's weak, when he's hungry, when he's craving. The enemy comes in and starts speaking lies and goes after him. And I can testify to that, that in my moments of weakness and vulnerability, when I was in the darkness, man, I got all kinds of messages coming at me. And that's why I had to surround myself with a community of healthy people to help me remember, where are you placing your trust? What's going on inside of you, John, that's causing you to question these things? What's happening in you? Help me process this stuff. Remember Jesus in the wilderness going through. He's hungry. The enemy comes after him, comes after his identity. If you are the Son of God, like there's that question, the if question, if you really are the Son of God, come on. Then turn these stones into bread. Take it upon yourself to take care of yourself. And Jesus doesn't fail. Isn't that amazing? Adam and Eve fail. The Israelites fail. We, if we're honest, fail. Jesus doesn't fail. He upholds it. It's like he takes on everyone's story, all of humanity's story, Adam and Eve, the Israelites, all of us. He takes it on his shoulders and he just holds it there. And he says, "I got this." It's like a retelling of the Exodus story, of Jesus coming into the bigger story and says, "I got this. I got this for you. And I'll hold this together. And I will trust that I do not live on bread alone. I'm not going to let my appetites and my cravings pull me off track, but I'm going to hold to the very word of God, the very thing spoken from the mouth of God." Now, in Christianity, we oftentimes will use these phrases like, I'm just resting on the word of God. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean exactly? What do you mean you're resting on the word of God? Like, tell me more, and I want to pull out of that the very words that come from the mouth of God. Okay, great. What does that mean? What does that look like? So what I do is I'm like, what does it mean when we say I'm resting on the very words coming from the mouth of God? I go back to Matthew chapter 3 very often. And in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, this is what it says. Jesus, this is before he goes into the wilderness. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'Hey, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' And Jesus replies, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John says, 'Okay.' And then verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water." Oh my gosh, bigger story. Jesus is coming through the water. There's a retelling going on here. And at that moment, the heavens were like ripped open and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Jesus comes through the water. He comes through the water and God says, "This is my Son." What is that? This is a blessing. And he speaks a blessing over the life of Jesus. You see, there's this God who holds the universe together, that's created things to create, to continue creating. Then he invites humanity. He blesses them and says, I want you to take care of it, subdue it, help it to move forward, to progress. I want you to be a blessing to other people all around you. But ultimately, what I want for you is to trust in my words, that the blessing of God rests on you right now. And that's where we begin. See, it's one thing to say, yeah, I believe this to be true. It's another thing to say, I trust it. And I hold on to this. I'm trusting into who God says that I am. It's one thing to just say, yeah, God is blessing me. It's another thing to say, oh, his love has validated me. It's on me, and I'm resting in that today, and I'm choosing to move deeper into the heart of God. These are the things that are true. The tempter comes to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, if you really are who God says you are, and what does Jesus launch from? Oh, yeah, the Father told me what I was back in just another chapter before this whole incident happened. He told me that his love is upon me, and I'm going to rest in that. That's what I'm choosing to trust into. That's what I'm leaning into. This is our story. God has blessed every man and woman in this room, every child. You are blessed. That's where the story begins. You're not a disappointment. God speaks a blessing over your life. This is who you are. And what God desires is after your heart. He wants you to know and understand who you really are. So he begins with this blessing. And if we're not leaning into that blessing, then we have to step back and ask the question, then what's happening inside of me that it's keeping me from trusting? What's going on? And that's the question I had to ask myself over and over and over again, that I have to continue asking myself as somebody who tends to be pretty skeptical. I'm not always right, and I understand that. And there are times still that I'm kind of going, still questioning. And there's a lot of tension inside of me, back and forth. But when I begin with the truth, I am loved and I am valued, I have a measurable worth exactly as I am, then I am invited to be the person that God has created me to be. But we all have these appetites and these cravings. And there's so much in this world and in life that's trying to pull us off track and take us away, pull us off course, cause us to unplug from life. Which raises a lot of questions for me. And I want to ask you a few questions, and I want you to look at yourselves this morning. This isn't about the person on your right or your left, okay? This is about you. And I want you to ask yourself these questions. Do you have any cravings, lusts, that are getting in the way of everything that God has created you to be? Have you been able to identify what those are? If not, how are you going about identifying what those things are? And do you have someone to help you identify those things? Do you have a tendency to want to just escape, avoid, and numb yourself, or just to indulge? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it pornography? Is it online gaming? It's all of these things out there. See, as a pastor, people very often will ask me questions and they'll say, hey, pastor, what do you think about drugs? Or what do you think about pornography? And very often, my first response inside is, I think people have been called to a very grand and noble purpose. That's what I think about humanity. And when we avoid these things, we're not being everything that God has created us to be. And I believe the church is really good at identifying people's sins. It's like, yeah, we know about your sin. We got that locked in. What I think we're not doing a real good job at is getting to the sin underneath the sin. Are you with me? Like, what I'm interested in is I want to know what's going on underneath. Like, we can talk about pornography. We can talk about drugs. We can talk about online gaming, whatever it may be. But I'm thinking, yeah, that's not really the problem. because there's something else going on underneath that, and that's what I want to get to. And I don't want to shame you. I don't want to judge you, because I'm in this game too. And I don't want to get in there and start revealing things to you and then get in front of the church and say, hey, let's talk about Jose this Sunday. No, I want to get to the thing under the thing under the thing under the thing and root that thing out so that we can be healed. So yeah, we can talk about pornography and we can talk about drugs and we can try to get all that stuff in order. I don't think that's going to help until we get underneath it and get to the thing under the thing. So when people ask me questions, I want to know what's going on underneath the surface. Do you have an urge, a craving, an appetite that is pulling you off course? I want you to hear something this morning. You're better than that. You are better than that. And deep down inside somewhere, I think you know that. Maybe you're not aware of it, but deep down inside, I do believe that there is a still small voice that is speaking a word of blessing in your life. You are loved. You are valued. Are you tuning into that? Are you listening? God is pleased with you. Are you living in any way that contradicts your true self? Are you living in any way that contradicts who you really are? You're better than that, and you know it. Deep down inside, you know it. The invitation stands this morning. It stands. You do not live on bread alone, but by the very blessing that comes from the mouth of God. It's not about you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. That's religion. That just gets in the way, and that is really boring. If you want to talk about what's boring, religion is a bore to me. It's not interesting. But what you could be and what you're becoming, I find that fascinating. And that's the stuff we want to pull out of each other. What are you becoming? What could it be like if we were to truly embrace all that God spoke over us from the very beginning, that we are blessed, that he's asked us to grow, to create with him in this world and to bless others. All we have to do, my friends, is open up our arms and receive it. That's it. That's it. Each week, I watch a good friend of mine, Ron Whitney. How many of you know Ron Whitney, right? To know Ron is to know Ron, right? But very often when we're over at Love a Child, he'll say to the women over there, how difficult would it be for you to just spend 5 minutes a day just basking in the love of God and just to open up your arms and just receive it? Would that be hard for you? And the response sometimes is silence, and sometimes the response is, yeah, that would be really hard because I'm not worthy. But just to say, okay, I'm just going to receive it. That there's nothing I can do to earn it or achieve it. Just speak it over me, God, because this is what could be. And I want to experience your love and your blessing. And when you hear the blessing, when you begin to tune into it and you receive it, you know what happens to the shoulds? They get turned into coulds. And that's good news. The shoulds get turned into goods. I know that I'm not strong enough to say no, and I know I'm not good enough to say stay true in the wilderness, but I have surrendered my life to the one who was. And that's the invitation for you this morning, to surrender your life, your desire, your cravings into the very heart and the words of Jesus, who remained faithful in Christ. Let's continue to go on this journey together, okay? I want to do this. I want to find life. I want to reconnect. And I want us as a community to really reconnect. This is a good, safe place to do that. And you are welcome here if you have doubts and questions and you're not convinced about this whole thing. I'm glad you're here. This is a really great place for you to be. And we want to create good dialogue with one another. So I hope the discussion will continue and that the questions will continue to rise up and we'll actually get somewhere, which that would be really great. Okay? Enjoy life today. Enjoy it as a gift. God has given you a gift today, your life. Embrace it. His blessing is upon you. And so let me speak this benediction, this good word, over you this morning. Now may the Lord God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace and the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with all of you. Thank you, my friends.